I'm sure all of us are familiar with the old saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I am very, very conscientious of that. If you have ever seen my office here at the building, but especially if you ever saw my office there at my house, you would know that I have dozens and dozens and dozens of little trinkets that are treasures to me. They don't mean anything to anyone else, but they are my treasures. Therefore, one man's trash is definitely another man's treasure. But that's nothing new. In the long ago, Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, "He that loves gold will not be satisfied with gold." I think we understand that. "Nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is vanity." And again, I think that's fairly understandable. Later in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he says, "The abundance of the rich will not permit them to sleep." They're so concerned about their wealth and all, they can't sleep good at night. But then he says, and I paraphrase, "What good is it? Because someday the wind's just going to blow it all away anyway." Now, I suppose out of context, that's a little bit difficult to understand. But what Solomon is doing is he's trying to help us understand the proper place for our wealth. And brethren, it seems like every time I mention that, living here in America, living here in Texas, brethren, we are among the most wealthy people on the face of the earth. Generally speaking, our poorest citizens would be considered wealthy in so many other places. What Solomon is saying is, wealth is just a tool. We need our wealth, we need our money, we need to purchase the necessities of life. But brethren, even after we purchase the necessities of life, we understand there's so much that should be left over. And that leads us right to our text. Right in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses the same teaching that Solomon does. And he says, and I will paraphrase just a little bit, "Do not worry about laying up for yourselves treasures upon the earth." And he mentions moths and rust and thieves. He said, instead of worrying about that, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then he says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In other words, if my treasure is over here in the bank, that's where my heart is. If my treasure is hanging on the walls of my house, that's where my heart is. But if my treasure is in heaven, then my heart is there. Now, I truly believe that my lesson today is just about as cut and dry as I possibly can make it. Not only does Jesus talk about this in Matthew chapter 6, but he also mentions the same truth in John chapter 6. And according to historians, the first part of John 6 verse, whatever verse it is an old Jewish idiom. And it says the same thing. The old Jewish idiom says, "Don't labor for food that perishes. Rather, labor for food which endures to everlasting life." And then Jesus adds, "The food that endures for everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." The eternal food, the treasure in heaven, will be given to us by Jesus. Now, I always feel compelled to say this. There's nothing wrong with earthly treasure. Nothing wrong with living in a nice house or a nice apartment, driving a nice car. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with wearing good clothes. Nothing wrong with that at all. God wants us to enjoy that. But the teaching of Jesus is our true treasure should be laid up in heaven. And therefore, our question is, why should we focus on laying up our treasures in heaven? And how do we lay up treasures in heaven? First of all, we should lay up heavenly treasures because earthly treasures are perishable. They are temporary. And to illustrate Jesus' point, he chose things that the people would be familiar with. Moths and rust and thieves. But you know, today with the advent of mothballs, we don't worry that much about moths eating our woolen garments. And with stainless steel and aluminum, we don't worry that much about rust. But brethren, thieves are probably more common today than they even were then. We have thieves on every level. We have pickpockets at the county fair. We have burglars and robbers that break into our home. We have cyber criminals that drain the money from our banking account, and they don't even have to go into our bank. And if we were using this illustration today, we could talk about other ways that we would lose our wealth. Inflation, stock devaluation, faulty investments, and so forth. What Jesus is saying is, we need to put our true wealth, the things that are eternally important, in a place where there are no moths, there is no rust, there are no thieves to break through and steal. The Apostle Peter really says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1. He talks about our inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. And he also adds, it is reserved for us in heaven. Second, why should we lay up treasure in heaven? Because that's where our heart is supposed to be. Brethren, there are a lot of things that I could think of and mention. There are a lot of things that you could think of and mention. And we would say, I love that person or that item with all of my heart. Jesus is not saying we shouldn't love certain people with all of our heart. Even things, love them tremendously. What he's saying is, if we will take care of our heavenly treasure, God will help us protect our earthly treasure. And then think about heaven for just a moment. Isn't that where our hope is? Or isn't that where our hope is supposed to be? And when we plan for the future, there's nothing wrong with planning for our retirement. But brethren, our number one plan for the future is seeing Jesus face to face. You see, here on the earth, we are constantly subject to disappointment. But among other things, there'll be no disappointment in heaven. Everything on this earth will someday wear out or burn up if Jesus comes before it wears out. Everything will someday wear out. My favorite car of all time is probably rusting away in some junkyard somewhere in Texas. And you know what? I kind of hope it is. My favorite suit of all time, I wore it out and threw it away. Now, I've still got my worn out blue jeans, but that's supposed to be real fashionable. But other things wear out and we throw them away. But Jesus says, the things we send to heaven, the treasure we send to heaven, will always be there for us. There'll be no disappointment, and nothing and no one can steal that treasure from us. As Peter said, it's reserved for us in heaven. It's ours in heaven. It's just waiting for us. Now, I'm sure I speak for all of us. Isn't it sad when we watch the news and We read about hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and tsunamis and fires and all these things that destroy people's homes and change their lives. It's very, very sad. It's very sad to look at what we human beings are doing to the world with our factory pollution and wars and so forth. But brethren, as long as our treasure is in heaven, nothing will devastate us. Linda and I were talking as we were coming over this morning, and I'll probably get some of the facts incorrect. It was about a lady that got cancer. She survived the cancer. No sooner than she got out of the hospital as a cancer survivor, her house burned down. The cancer then came back. But instead of saying, "Why me?" she said, "Why not me?" Brethren, if our treasure is in heaven, nothing on this earth, loss of property, loss of wealth, loss of health, loss of them and vitality, it's not going to devastate us. Nothing will overwhelm us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, the penman there is writing about these Jewish Christians that were going to escape the dispersion. And he says something like this: they were not concerned because their possessions were plundered. That was the New King James translation. Because they knew their true possessions were in heaven. Brethren, as long as our hope is built on Jesus, we have hope. You know, if this was Vacation Bible School right now, you know what song we would sing? The wise man built his house on the rock, and the rock is Jesus. Now, before we get to our next point, I want to run something by you. Let's say when you first entered high school, and some of you have not entered high school, some of you are in high school, some of us we're already through with school. Let's say when you first entered high school, your parents told you, if you will be on the A honor roll every 6 weeks, therefore you will graduate on the honor society. If you do that for all your years of high school, your parents will buy you a new car to go off to college with. Now, we might not be able to do that, but I'll assure you, we would try. Or what if your boss came to you and he said, if you'll make your sales quota all 4 quarters this year, I'll send you and your family on an all-expense-paid vacation to Sea Drift, Texas. I don't know. No, Hawaii. Let's say Hawaii, not Sea Drift. Let's say Hawaii. We might not be able to do that, but I assure you we would try. And that leads us to our third point. We should lay up treasures in heaven so that we have something to look forward to. I was talking to Rhonda earlier today. She just came back from a cruise. Linda and I love to cruise. Well, I love to cruise. Linda likes to cruise. I love to cruise. Months ahead of time, I'm already eagerly anticipating that cruise. I'll have my suitcase packed at least 3 months before the cruise day. It's something that I'm really, really looking forward to. Brethren, every treasure that I've ever sent to heaven, it's going to be mine. I look forward to that. If we would have continued our text, Jesus would have talked about light. The eye is the light of the body. He would have talked about obedience. No man can serve two masters. He would have talked about faith. Take no thought for tomorrow. Those were some of his favorite illustrations as well. When he talks about light, he's really talking about more than just knowledge. He's talking about the wisdom to use the knowledge. Insight, not insight based on a premonition, but insight based on God's word. And he also took a cue from the Old Testament. Solomon talked about people with a good eye and an evil eye. Jesus uses that illustration. He said, if you're looking for the truth, it's like looking through a good eye. If you're not looking for the truth, it's like looking through an evil eye. Matthew 23 and also Mark 7. Therefore, brethren, We need to keep our good eye looking toward the prize. The prize that is laid before us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Philippians chapter 3. When Jesus talks about no man can serve two masters, he's talking about belonging to God and giving ourselves to God and belonging to the world and giving ourselves to the world. It's just impossible to do. He says the same thing later in the 6th chapter of Matthew, but in a much more positive way. He says it this way, and he's talking to you and I just as he was talking to his disciples sitting there on the hill. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And there are many other verses, of course, to which we could mention. Let's get to our final question. How? How do we lay up treasures in heaven? Brethren, as funny as this is going to sound, think about it and you'll realize that it's true. How do we lay up treasures in heaven? We lay up treasures for ourselves when we share our treasures with others. We lay up treasures for ourselves when we share our earthly treasures with others. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, there are some religions that teach that Christians have to take a vow of poverty. We can't even own more than one set of clothing, one pair of shoes. We have to take this vow of poverty. I have no earthly idea where they get that from. Certainly not the Bible. The Bible tells us that God has created this beautiful world for us to enjoy. Now, Paul reminds Timothy that we should not trust in uncertain riches, but that we need to trust in God who gives to all men liberally all things to enjoy. Solomon says the same thing in Ecclesiastes 5. That's where we begin today. Brethren, we should always remember the words of Jesus. We need to give ourselves in order to lay up treasures in heaven. And isn't that what Jesus did? He gave of himself so that you and I will have an opportunity to enjoy those treasures in heaven. I jumped ahead of myself a moment ago. I wanted to save this for the invitation. I'll use it anyway. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Who better to say that than Jesus? He gave to us something that we could not obtain for ourselves. We could never be good enough for him to deserve the cross, for him to deserve what he went through. But he did it, and he offers salvation to us freely. And that's why we will offer the invitation of our Lord every time we assemble as the body of Christ. And maybe today, maybe the invitation is for you. Maybe Jesus' word has touched your heart. Maybe some of these verses have reminded you of what is truly important. Maybe you've thought about eternity. Maybe you need to respond to our Lord's invitation today. Either to have yourself added to the church by Jesus by submitting to the watery grave of baptism, or for some other reason. Our song number is 894. Ken, will you be able to come up here? Ken will meet you, and after the song, I'll get to visit with you. If you need to come to Jesus, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?